Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Steve is in the waiting room.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Hear you.
I can hear you as well. You sound a little bit better today. You don't sound as robot-y.
Wow. Well, that's disappointing.
Well, I mean, you still sound robot-y, but it's not as robot-y as the past.
I see. Well, I guess it's now time to reveal that I've just been upgraded. I've been an AI construct this whole time. Actually, this entire thing is a simulation.
Why have you told them about Shitbot 2.0?
Shitbot 2.0. This whole thing is a simulation, Joe. Your existence is a completely falsified reality.
I've always knew that. I've read most philosophy of the 21st century, and B, I'd rather it be a simulation, because that would be really, really, really that would really explain all of the awfulness that I see on a daily basis.
Yes.
I mean, it'd be like, okay, maybe everything is not quite as mediocre shitty as it is in this world. Like, it's either like super shitty or not shitty. Like, I'd rather have it be black and white, super shitty, post-apocalypse, we've just failed as a society, or like a utopia. Because like what we're living in right now is just the long malaise into Trumphood.
Into oblivion.
Oblivion, yeah. It's pretty bad.
But what if there was a shining light, a beacon, a resplendent, incorruptible example to follow? Something that is so beyond anyone's comprehension or disdain, something that can truly be a guiding star for us all, a North Star, if you will. That's right.
Crab people. Yes.
That's right. The Games Workshop small crab
has taken over the world.
Yes. Every single post I saw regarding any release has been completely overwhelmed and destroyed, completely devastated by the army of crab.
Okay. So I was kind of like wondering how we're going to do this cast, because there's a lot of information. I was going to do it chronologically, but I think that we should start off by talking about Warhammer Fest Online Day 4, Warhammer Underworld's preview of the Eidoneth Deepkin Elithane Soul Raid, only because crab has taken over the world. It comes with a crab model, and everybody has A, fallen in love with crab, and B, memed it to oblivion in the course of 2 days.
Yes. Well, I mean, not to oblivion, to even more memes.
I will say this, though. Titanforge has done a better crab than the Games Workshop one, I think, but it is not as small and wee as the Games Workshop one.
Yes.
So I was talking to some people about why crab became such a meme so fast. And my personal opinion, Steven, you may think differently, but my personal opinion is that crab is basically a knee-jerk reaction to how shitty the entire 5-day preview has been so far, that the only thing that people like, it's like so mediocre and so like, huh, we knew all of this stuff already, that people just latched on to the most abstract weird thing that they could with the, and so it's like, let's just go with crab since it's there. It could have easily have been fish, but crab is much more much better memery.
Now, I do disagree. I think the populace, the absolute mad lads, are just hungry for crab.
Well, everybody loves.
They're just hungry for crab content.
Oh, I thought just hungry for crab, because you know what? I do love crab.
No, not hungry for crab, literally hungry for crab content, which, I mean, I guess you could consider eating crab content, but in general, crab content. I mean, think about it like this. this is not the first time that that a crab has exploded and dominated the memosphere. Because as I'm sure you possibly remember, the classic iconic line from the PlayStation 3 reveal video of giant enemy crab.
I do not remember that. No.
Oh, that was great. One of the that was latched on, because the PS3 presentation when it was first launched was obviously a disaster for multiple reasons, including the price tag of where we were going, $599 US. That was memed into oblivion. But there was a game that they were demoing, and it was like he was talking about like the prelude to launching this game was like, it's it's a story about samurai, and it's they really focused on a lot of the historical events and things that occurred, you know, in feudal Japan. And then like fucking like 2 minutes into the demo of the game, he's like, and here is a giant enemy crab.
And it's like crab.
Yeah, and it's an absolutely gigantic crab. And then of course we cannot forget about Crab Rave.
Oh yeah, well, Crab Rave is just, that's just classic memory right there.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Like the yeah. Like there's a long-standing tradition of crab content.
But yes, but I mean, like, why all of a sudden did everybody just latch on to crab? And I think it's, in my personal opinion, as I said, I think it's because it has been such a mediocre Warhammer Fest. And as you know, after our conversation yesterday via text, how angry I am at something
The vampires are really cool.
Yes. How angry I am at something I have absolutely 100% no stake in, period. It just, yes. It makes...
Well, I mean, if you're super angry about something that you have absolutely no stake in and has nothing to do with anything you do, you'll never really have anything to do with it, and you're ready to launch into like a 20-minute tirade about it, you, my friend, are a gamer.
Woohoo! Gamer. Gamer.
Congratulations.
Crab people.
Ascended.
People.
Yeah. That is exactly it.
All right. I want to do just a slight chronological real quick. In that last week, and I did get to go do my first convention since the pandemic occurred. Mm-hmm. I went to Little Wars. I figured there would only be like 20 people there, so it wouldn't be that dangerous. And yeah, I was kind of correct. There was about 20 people at the convention hall playing their historical games. So that was nice. And I did get to demo the Warlord Games Black Powder 10 millimeter, or I'm sorry, it's 13 millimeter Civil War game.
Oh, 13 millimeter.
I know. Well, and it was kind of weird. Like the explanation for it was funny. They're like, because what they wanted to do is they wanted to get a full, you know, 3-stand battalion on a sprue. And so if they made it 15, they wouldn't be able to fit it. And if they made it 10, or if they made it 12, like the, well, I guess it's kind of like a 12 millimeter, but so they couldn't make it 15. So they had to shrink it down, but they wanted it a little bit bigger than War Master. So that's why they did it at like, it was like 13.5 millimeter game, which it's just like, I'm like, okay, whatever. I don't really care that much. You could have just said 12 millimeter and I would have been happy. I mean, 10 millimeter. That's what,
yeah. You said Civil War. So I already checked out.
You're just like, do, 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 do.
Yeah.
The only reason why
that's something I walk by, I look at, and I see the little stupid fucking blue and gray outfits, and I'm like, see ya.
Well, the thing that I really like about it, the reason why I even bring it up at this is that the game uses the War Master system 100%. It's almost identical, but with a few probably better twists to it, or not twists, but better.
Well,
twists.
I don't know if it can be improved over War Master Ancients, because War Master Ancients was really good. The most recent edition of War Master Ancients, I should say.
Yeah, it's just a little the only thing I saw that I could really comment on was some tweaks to the movement, which were very interesting in terms of if you roll lower on your command, you can move further.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of nice. It added a little bit of variance to the game. So instead, it wasn't as much like, okay, I move exactly this far. It's like, hey, you rolled really good, so your guys can do better because your leadership is that good. It was just, it was a neat little twist to it. I appreciated that. And
that is interesting.
And I think if they took that system and applied it to ancients, which doesn't necessarily, I believe, since the last time I've looked at their ancient system, their Hail Caesar rulebook, I don't think that they use the War Master system, because I know that the bigger system, the 28 millimeter black powder system, uses the War Master system. But I don't know. I don't think that their Hail Caesar system uses that. But if they use that for, like, let's say a Roman army, I'd be like, I'd kind of like to play that, you know, like get some Romans out on the table and do that. Cause I think we've talked about that before, that like black powder doesn't really interest us. Like, like Napoleonic, Civil War, all that shit. No, thank you.
No.
But you know what?
I'm out.
But if, like, let's say they did a 10 millimeter samurai game, Steve.
Are there chariots? Yeah. that's the normal. That's the question. Like, it's like, oh, there's a new game. Steve, would you be interested in this game? And I would go, are there chariots? And if the answer to the question of are there chariots is no, then I'm not interested.
Yes. Yeah, but if there was, like, let's say samurai and stuff like that, would you be interested in that?
I mean, there would probably be chariots, so yes.
Do samurais have chariots?
Yes, sort of. They had like really weird, like, they had horse drawn. They had like the closest thing to a chariot, but it was not like literally a chariot.
Oh.
Yeah. But yes, samurai are cool. But I actually probably would avoid a game that was just all samurai, because that sounds kind of boring.
So you would not play Legend of the Five Rings,
or Clan War. Well, Clan War has like rat men and like demon armies, so that's not quite all samurai.
Samurai,
and there are wizards
and wizards.
Yes,
but there's also the Scorpion political deck.
God damn it, that fucking guy just going on and on about his Scorpion political deck.
The more I think about it, I granted it's been about 20 years removed from Clan War as a game. 20 years, Steve, and I still think, I'm like, damn, that's such a great concept, but it's just like really tough for execution. And they did pull it off. It's great. But who's going to play that game? Like, of all metal figures, just ridiculous.
It was a reasonable orbit game, I guess I would call that, an orbit game, where it's like, it's one of those things where you would maybe see it's the same two or three guys, but you see those guys at the game store every week playing their game.
Exactly.
So it's an orbit game. It's not like the game where you see like, what was that one? It was the guys who did all the boat games. Shit. I don't remember. They had the fantasy boat game. They had the steampunk boat game.
Oh, Dystopian Wars, Spartan.
Yeah, Spartan games. So it's not like Spartan games where like the only time you ever saw Spartan games was on the sales floor. Like, you never actually saw anyone playing that game.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So let's get into Warhammer, because I thought we'd ease into our Warhammer content by going over something that no one is interested in, aka a 13 millimeter black powder Civil War game from Warlord.
Yeah, Games. when we all know that everyone is just completely interested in crap.
Yeah, they're just interested in crab. That's all they want.
That's right.
You know
That's
what?
Right.
We really shouldn't eat crab, because we overfish our crab in the world.
Basically, shouldn't be eating seafood right now.
Very much so. Very much so. But damn, don't I love smelt?
It doesn't fucking matter. We're fucking doomed. So like, do whatever the fuck you want.
Doomed is a civilization. Well, I mean, that's what most of America does anyway. Okay.
Right. Well, they're belligerent about it.
Don't tell me what I can't eat. I'm gonna shoot that fish.
Yes, and
people
exactly.
Do. People do hunt fish with guns, even though guns don't work underwater.
They do, but not really well.
No, not well at all. So the Warhammer and Games Workshop announced that they're going to do a 6-day Warhammer Fest online, each day showing a preview of something that's going to be coming out in the future. So day one was their fantasy day. And it was Age of Sigmar. They revealed the rest of the vampire counts, what are they called? Soul
Blight Gravelords, I believe.
goddamn fucking stupid ass names. Just like,
yes,
let's smush words together and come up with something.
Yes.
Like the IKEA of the gaming world.
It's got to be copyrightable.
Yeah, I know shit. I think the only thing that's really worth mentioning is Dami Mami.
Yes.
Dami Mami was revealed, and it's like a weird dragon vampire hybrid thing.
Yes. It's very hot.
It's very hot. We don't know if genitalia is present. That was a question Steve had.
Yeah, well, because I mean, could this be an amazing Sigvald moment where they reveal that the backside has part, like, it's business in the front, but party in the back?
Can, yes,
you know, that might be the case.
That was one of my favorite things, is the fact that they did not reveal Sigvald was had assless chaps on. You had to buy the model to discover that.
Yes, yes, it was a big secret.
It was a huge secret. And why would they bury the lead like that? That's
I think that was very smart of them. Actually, I think that was very clever, because it's something that really rewards
the consumer.
Yeah, it rewards the consumer, because you get to buy that figure, and as you're assembling it, you'd be like, wait, his ass is out.
They did show Belladama Volga, which is this vampire chick riding a wolf, which is, I kind of like, she's like an old lady. Like, so you get like B. Arthur dressed as a Cossack.
She's the Bram Stoker's one, right? She looks like a Bram Stoker's Dracula.
No. This
poofy hair.
No. This is one who she's like that Cossack design with like the big furry hat and a big
cloak. Oh, right.
But she's
Russian Bram Stokers.
Yeah, no, she kind of looks like if Estelle Getty from Golden Girls was a vampire, which I'm kind of into. But the
you want to watch the film where Estelle Getty plays a vampire?
Yes, kind of. I think that would be a cool idea. Like My Grandma the Vampire.
That sounds good. It sounds like a Tom Arnold, Sylvester Stallone direct-to-video movie.
Oh yeah. But they also resculpted direwolves too. So interesting enough, I thought this was interesting, that the entire Vampire Count's army is pretty much resculpted at this point from, let's say, the fifth, sixth edition kits that were out.
They did bats.
Yeah.
Do they have a new bat swarm? Or is the bat swarm even exist anymore? I guess I don't think
there's going to be a bat swarm in the new codex, but bat swarms do exist in the Cursed City box.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So those are there. Giant bats as well. They have dire wolves. They have zombies. They have
and the dire wolves do look very good.
They do. My thing is that I was like, oh man, I'd really like to play with an army with Belladama Volga as the leader. I think that's a really cool looking model. I kind of like this idea of Eastern European vampires, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, she's only going to be good if she has like a fuck ton of dire wolves, and I don't want to paint a fuck ton of dire wolves. So that's kind of going to be right out the.
I think the advantage is probably going to be the fact that they're battle line, and you only need five, and they're probably dirt cheap in points. So you probably need 15 because they meet the minimum battle line requirements. So then you can just spend your points on the big monsters.
That's true.
I think that's probably what it'll end up being. It'll probably end up being that.
That you could very well be true, Steve, and that's probably because I think that's what people were doing when they were running what's his face, not Cetra, I can't think of his name,
hold on, Nagash.
Yes.
When people were running Nagash, I know they were running dire wolves as like a small unit. And then they were
so you can hit your battle line. Yeah. It was one blob of skeletons and then like two like minimum sized units of dire wolves.
Exactly. Like you'd have like a massive 50 man unit of skelebones, or however many the max was, like 40 probably. And then you'd run two units of dire wolves. And so that way that's how you ran it.
Yes.
But they also have a new Radikar sculpt. Radikar was the bad guy in Curse City, is the bad guy in Curse City. And let me tell you this, Steve, everybody on the Curse City web pages lost their shit, because they're like, oh man, how come they're releasing this for Age of Sigmar, not for Curse City? Curse City is doomed. And I just blocked them because that's fucking idiots.
That's pretty funny.
Because here's the thing, like, yeah, it's nice to get expansions, but you know what? It's also kind of nice to have just a game in a box that you don't have to buy anything else for, you know?
Yes. I mean, they're gonna have more stuff. Like, if your desire is to just blow more money on it, don't worry. There's gonna be more shit for you to blow money on.
Yeah, exactly. Then you got the Donnie Mommy.
Come on.
Yeah, and then they showed the The new stuff for Broken Realms, which I still don't understand what Broken Realms is. It's like, it's a campaign, I guess, but just a, it's like,
Broken Realms is the book series. So what Broken Realms is, it's like, it's exactly like all the other ones they've done. It just has more books. It's like, because of the Malign Portents was the last one before they did all the spells. So that's what Broken Realms is. So Broken Realms is like, it's a book. It has like a new model and then like a bunch of new rules. So like Bellicor is a Broken Realms book. Morathi is a Broken Realms book.
Yeah, I just don't understand. I don't know, like, myself as a player, Steve, and like, I don't play AOS religiously, but I have stuff for it. I follow along with it. I could not justify the price cost of that book unless I specifically wanted that model that's going to be in there.
Right. That's exactly what it's for. I think, I don't think it's designed for everyone to get. They're like it's like a quasi codex where it has four factions inside of it. So yeah, like
exactly
if you play one of those factions, then you would probably be interested in that book. If you don't play any of those factions, you don't need it.
I always look back to, and I'm sure you do this too, but I look back to sixth edition, right? When the when the army books cost like
I'm not gonna lie to you. I look back to sixth edition a lot.
Yeah. Well, when those army books cost $20 a piece, right? Now, when a new one came out, even if you didn't play that army, you could probably justify spending $20, right, on that army book, right? Just to have it.
I think I know where you're going with this, yeah. But I think that the amount of people who bought all the books was actually really, really small.
I think it really was very small.
The only
reason why I disagree with you on that is because you go to any used bookstore and those sixth edition books are everywhere, like, and not just like specific ones, like whole collections of them show
right
up at
but you gotta remember it looks big because it's a whole collection, but that's still one person.
I know
that's not a ton of people, because you gotta figure if you have 10 people out of 1,000 who are buying all of the books, yes, those 10 people's collections will be a lot of books, but it's just 10 people. You still have, you know, the remaining 1,000 who've bought their one book for their army.
I don't
so on and so forth.
I just always look at like cheaper, like selling it cheaper means that more people are going to buy it, which means that you're going to have overall higher volume of sale.
So here's the, like, I mean, I'm sure this is very thrilling dialogue for everyone listening, but I am absolutely certain that some bean counter at workshop, like, determined that this strategy is going to produce them more money than the other one. Someone looked at the analytics and they were like, well, I mean, just think about it like this, like, let's just say pure profit. So talking minus costs, minus paying employees, minus whatever. Let's say those $20 books, their pure profit on that was $5 a book. They made $5 a book. So they're like, all right, so if this one person buys 10 books, we release 10 books for this edition, we're going to make $50 off of that one dude. Like, because he's going to buy all the books. So we'll make $50 profit off of that guy. Then if you go, well, if we make the book $40 instead of $20 and we make $15 profit, we can sell less books and make more money.
You know, I won't disagree. That's probably the correct way of looking at it. I don't know. I just feel like these four books, I wouldn't even blink at for the cost.
But we also have to take into fact, there's another consideration here, is that Games Workshop doesn't have a pricing strategy or anything along those lines, and they're just kind of doing whatever.
Yes, that's possible as well.
I believe having talked to a lot of manufacturers and been on the like production side of the industry, I guess, more than the consuming side, I would be more willing to bet that they're just like, we're just doing it.
You know what? That's probably right. I mean, like, as I always say, I do believe that there is absolutely nothing driving anything in that company.
It's just like, I don't know. That looks cool. Sure. Grab it.
So they did also preview Lord Croak, which we already saw. We didn't talk about it in the last cast, but it's like, oh, Big Frog.
Big Frog. I mean, it's very nice to have a plastic swan. I will say that.
We literally just talked about that too, like how there was no actual figure for the lead of that army.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
There's two new Slaaneshi models that are
kind of awesome.
They're kind of like peacocky. Mm-hmm. There's a flute playing tree person, which it's like, okay, whatever. And then there's the Vampire Hunters, which everyone thought was an expansion for Curse City, but apparently is not, unless there will be rules for them in like a White Dwarf, which may be possible. And then they showed Kragnos, the centaur.
That dude, very, very, very cool and very, very fucking big.
I think the face looks ridiculous on it, but I think the model itself is cool. I love the design work on it, but the face is so stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean, that model reminded me of a throwback. Like I looked at the model and I was like, this is like a huge, better sculpted fifth edition model.
That's a good comparison to it. Like the face, I think the problem with the face for me is the fact that they gave him that kind of like bear nose. Mm-hmm. Or dog nose, and it kind of just makes him look like a big Mr. Woofers.
He's cute.
It's like, you go, Kragnos. You want a treat? You want a treat, Kragnos?
I think he's very awesome. I think that the design choices to make him just quote unquote destruction, where he just fits in any destruction army and all of his keywords trigger off just destruction, is awesome. I think that's really cool. Destruction being definitely the redheaded stepchild for a very long time for Age of Sigmar.
Yeah, well, I mean, and plus, you know, he's I think he's designed to be the Nagash of destruction.
If yes, that sounds for right. sure. Yeah. For sure. Yeah, he's gonna be the unifying model. But also, there was the hint where they said that there's someone building that effigy on his base.
Yeah,
and so that leads me to believe that there's gonna be a new destruction faction or something along those lines, because it looks very cool. But I couldn't figure out what it like. I was trying to think like what destruction faction could they do. Unless it's something like, I was trying to think if it wasn't something brand new, because obviously you can't predict something completely brand new, but I'm like, what could they do that they haven't done already? And like the only thing I could think of, which was like the super like out of left field, I was just like, are they going to do Chaos Dwarves as a destruction faction?
That like, could be interesting.
Because obviously the craftsmanship of said totem does not look like a Chaos Dwarf level of artisanship. No. However, when I looked at what the effigy looked like, it kind of reminded me of a Chaos Dwarf. And I was thinking, well, what's in the Chaos Dwarf army that would be for sure aligned with destructions? Hobgoblins. Yes. Ooh. Could it be a sneaky Gits army? Could it be an army of hobgoblins? Maybe.
I was thinking what would be cool, because when I saw Kragnos, you know, immediately what I thought of was the Carnothi from the box set for not Dire Chasm, the from Underworld season 3.
Well, nice time. I thought it was a Beastman model.
Well, I mean, it is a Beastman model for sure. But I thought of But I was thinking of when they initially showed the preview of him, you know, he's a centaur, and they just released that centaur model for the Carnothi from season 3. And it's one of the few armies that's kind of that doesn't actually have a supported army in Age of Sigmar. So I thought that was interesting. Like, could they maybe be making the Carnothi be destruction? And I was like, that'd be really cool.
That's actually probably accurate, actually. But, and that totem was probably made by the Carnothi.
Yeah. I mean, who knows, but it's probably not. They'll probably have something where it's just like, or maybe a destruction Beastman faction, like that's Centigors, you know, because there are no Centigors. Well, I guess there are in the army book for the Beastmen, but I mean, it could be cool to have, you know, a couple. I think that what there could be that would be neat, in my opinion, is now that they've kind of gotten to the point where they are in Sigmar, to start having certain factions have elements bleed into other factions. Like, why can't there be destruction humans, and why can't there
That's
be
true.
Destruction
they,
elves?
This there could easily be destruction chaos beastmen. That could be a very easy cross.
You know, and like, what about an undead dwarf faction or undead elf faction? That could be cool. Or death, not undead, but like a death faction like that. I think that would be a neat idea, and I think that could really, you could expand the the IP that way.
Deepest lore.
But however, Steve, as we do know, if it's cool, they're probably not going to do it.
I'm just saying there's probably not a plan.
No plan.
It's just like, oh, do it.
And the other thing that's kind of disappointing, there's no genitalia on Kragnos. Legitimately, you have a full-on crotch shot, no genitalia.
That's ridiculous. I mean, that's just a slap in the face.
No, it's not a slap in the face. That's the problem.
I want that
thing to slap me in the face.
I see.
Okay, so that was day one. And they showed like a video game that, like, I love that after they... So they showed a couple video games during this whole week, and every time they show a video game preview, the guys who are doing it are like, well, that's a thing. Moving on. They did a it's not a MOBA. It called it something else. I don't
know. Oh, I saw that. It's the weird like card game, mobile game for Age of Sigmar. I saw that thing.
Something I am absolute Soul Arena, which is auto fight game, I believe is what they called it.
Auto chess.
Auto battler. That's what they called it.
That's been popularized by auto chess games.
Oh, okay.
And what that is basically you put the pieces on the board. And then they do what they do. It's not random, but it's like automated. It's very odd. It's hard to explain. So think of it like a chessboard where you start with nothing on the table. If you put a pawn where you can put a pawn, the pawn will do something that is in a specific way. So like the pawn will move two spaces forward. Like that's what the pawn does. So you go like, okay, I'm going to put a pawn down. And then your opponent decides what they're going to do. And they're like, I'm going to put a knight down. And then they both appear and they both start doing their thing. And then when you take your next turn, you put your next piece down and they just keep going like that. So on and so forth.
Yes. Day two started. And it was mostly Sisters of Battle shit. This is the 40K day. They did Sisters of Battle, a new battle zone. And the thing is with day two, and that's why I kind of said, like, they really kind of shit the bed on day two. Like, you didn't need to have a day two. You could have just folded this into the Friday 40K release. Because it's a bunch of models that everybody had already kind of seen. I don't think that there was anything Sisters
of Battle. But Golden Boy.
Golden Boy?
Golden Boy. Golden Boy. It's the power armor. It's the power loader. That's not the basic Sisters one.
Oh, you mean Golden Girl.
Oh, is it a girl?
Yeah, that's a girl.
All right, Golden Girl.
Well, fine. I mean, let's not assume her gender, Arthur. But she is for Sisters of Battle, so.
B. Arthur.
Yeah, it's B. Arthur. It's
B. Arthur. You can't forget about B. Arthur.
Thank you for being a friend. Da-na-na. Traveled down the road and back again. Your heart is true.
You're loyal to the emperor. Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun. If you threw a battle and invited all the orcs you knew.
You would see the biggest kill count would be me, and the Bolter attached would say thank you for being penitent.
And surprisingly they made the stupid figure better by adding a skirt to it.
Yes.
It looks better. I still don't know why the arms are exposed, but c'est la vie.
I mean, it's the same reason that Space Marines don't wear fucking helmets.
Well, they don't wear helmets because how else are you going to see that they are painted as people of color so that people on Instagram will lose their absolute shit?
That was good. That was humorous. Thank you.
No problem. I have noticed though in my own painting when I do, because I have been like making a conscious effort to paint more miniatures of color, I guess. And it's not out of anything political. It's just the fact that I bought a bunch of new flesh tones from Reaper, and there's a lot of like unique and interesting flesh tones in them now that are like, you know, darker or, you know, just different flesh tones. And I have noticed that those models tend to get a lot more nose snubbery.
When I painted my Khorne Warband, everyone kind of had a different skin tone. Like Sake was a big black dude, and then what's his face, the Warband leader, he was like super pale. And then like I just kind of had like a mixed skin tone amongst the others. It looks better.
Say this though, if anybody like the one of the biggest drawbacks before of painting miniatures of color was that I just had no idea how to do it with the paint colors that I had. And then I really researched it, and Reaper's Triads has amazing flesh tones now. Amazing.
Yes. Yeah, they're super good.
One of my favorite ones as of late, and this is really weird for me to say this, or really weird to go into, but is actually an olive skin tone. It looks so good on the miniatures as a skin tone, but it also works really, really good as a leather color. So like if you're doing boots and stuff.
Well, I mean, leather is skin, so it's not really that weird.
I do recommend, though, if you are using it as a skin tone, as an actual skin tone, not to use it as leather, because people will get very confused on that model. But you know what? People don't put up finished figures anyway. They just put up half painted figures and say, look at how good I did this nose
while wearing gloves
and a beer in the background. So that way you can show that you're drinking and your hand is obviously shaking while you're painting
an IPA.
Oh yeah. It has to be. Well, no, it doesn't. IPA is a little out of it's everything's now. It's like,
it's a microbrewery then. I don't fucking know. Follow beer.
No, I don't know. It's with you know, gamers have no taste regardless. So it's going to be the shittiest thing anyway. that was really mean of me to say like that.
It was pretty accurate. I mean. Yeah.
And then they have these,
when Itchy pulled out Scratchy's skeletons and then he played it like a xylophone, he struck the third vertebrae twice, yet it produced two, completely different sounds. Are we supposed to believe this is some sort of magic xylophone?
Boy, I sure hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
Yeah, hope someone was fired for that blunder. Can you escape the dungeon without the wizard's key?
I do really appreciate that. I do hope somebody got fired for that blunder. That might be my most quoted Simpsons reference of probably the last few years.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So they also showed a bunch of sisters wearing who have shields and maces, which is kind of like, okay, I guess. Yeah, sure, you're in the 41st millennium and everyone else has guns, so you run at them with your shield.
They're penitent. That's the thing. The emperor is their shield.
Only the penitent man shall pass.
That's right. Only the penitent man kneels.
Penitent man. No, that's the. The penitent man shall pass is then a penitent man kneels before God.
Kneel!
Yeah. Only in the footsteps of God shall he succeed. In Latin, Jehovah starts with an I. But why, Steve? Why was there a J on the board if this was written at a time when there was an I for Jehovah?
Because it was a trick.
It was a trick. But I mean, how did they know about the J?
God powers.
That makes sense then. So
we're talking, they had the literal cup of the Lord, of the Lord. So the Lord. Of the Lord. So like they clearly had they clearly would have the foresight and blessings of the creator Yahweh to be like, hey, yo, bro, put a J there. It's gonna really fuck people up like 2,000 years later.
Yeah, put a J there. A what?
Yeah. A what? This thing, idiot. Do it.
It's gonna replace the I in words so that the I actually has the J sound, like you've been pronouncing it. Oh, that would be so much better. Oh, okay.
Nice.
We should use it.
Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah. So day three, it's Black Library Day. They showed finally some cool models. They did the Gaunt's Ghosts in plastic. However, it's very beefy. It's very manly. There are no female models on there, which is kind of dumb.
Ghost is a sausage fest.
Is a sausage fest. I mean,
yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. Gaunt's Ghost is a well-known sausage fest, and it should be a sausage fest.
The only way we're going to teach miniature gamers that women are okay is that if they have to paint female miniatures. That's the only way it's going to happen, Steve.
They have the Sisters of Battle, okay?
Okay, yes. They get their own little corner. there were female ghosts.
I actually really cracked up because there was one super relevant meme I saw in Grimdank, which was me who's barely into the hobby, and it's just like, it's like, this is the Gaunt's Ghost reveal, and it's got the Leo pointing. It's like, oh, I read that one. And I was like, that's me. That was exactly what I did. Because I was just like, oh, I've read that book. I was like, that was the most relatable meme I saw. I was like, oh, there's someone else same Z's.
And I will say this, though, the models for the Gaunt's Ghost are fucking gorgeous. They are beautiful models.
And all the models look good. I haven't seen a super shitty model come out of Workshop in a long time.
I mean, let's
I've seen the stupid models, but not like shitty. Oh, like
we'll like, go into that, Steve. We'll go into that.
The Mario Kart racer. the fact that they just keep doing more fucking baby carrier.
Yeah.
dudes.
But I will say that, like, okay, let's put all the models because of the current, you know, cycle. Like, let's say, let's just start, everything is at a 5, you know, because it's just like, this is common for Games Workshop. It's a decent model, blah, blah, blah. These are all 5s. I would say the Gaunts and the Ghosts are up there. They're like a 7-8, because I think those models are just, the sculpted beautifully. They're presented and painted beautifully. The way that the Laz guns have like the wood pattern on it is gorgeous.
Yeah, they're cool.
They look like the figure. They look like the characters from the books. I thought Bragg had a heavy bolter, but I could be mistaken. Maybe it is.
I believe he had an auto cannon. I think he uses a Chevy bolter at one point.
It's been a long time since I read those books.
Right. The important thing about that character is that he's the heavy gunner. Like, yeah. Because like the whole background for him is like, he was just fucking gigantic and was just like, people were like, is that dude a space marine? Like, he's just holding fucking heavy guns. So that was his gimmick. So I think he's used all of the heavy guns. Cause I think there was a part where he like grabbed a fucking las cannon and was like blasting shit with a las cannon as well. So that was his thing. He was like,
come back dude. From the Sabbath war and I can't even park a fucking car.
Yes, exactly. He was Stallone with the two M60s at the end of Rambo, just going like, yeah! although gigantic. Stallone, oh, yeah. Not gigantic.
Yeah. Well, we already have our Sly Marbo, so.
Yes, the average Tanith enjoyer.
The average Tanith enjoyer. So, and they actually are re-releasing the Sabbath War. I think they're doing they have a Sabbath War anthology, which sounds cool. And they have like a couple they have like the Vincula Insurgency, which I believe is the new Gaunt's Ghost novel series, but it's this cool little, like, this is the shit that I really like from Black Library when they released, like, okay, so you get these books and all these like stuff and maps and everything like that. So if you like really like something like that, that's pretty cool to me. Like, it comes with like a Tannis first scout badge and everything like that. It's like, yeah, it's dumb, but it's kind of like, I like it. I like that a lot. It's just too bad that they're only going to release like 3 of them, and they're going to get bought up by Autobots that are, you know, by bots that are just going to pick them up as soon as they're released.
Gonna get scalped instantly.
They'll get scalped, yeah. And then you could also buy a $30 Ibram Gaunt bookmark.
Ooh.
And they got a bunch of new books coming out. Nothing super super interesting that it's going to be like, oh my god, I got to read that book. They do have the new Siege of Terror book, Warhawk, which I will read because I like that series quite a bit. Where you get to see Rogaldorn's weaponized autism at the Battle of the Imperial Palace.
More like Siege of Poop. Bam, got him.
Siege of Poop. So then that was day 4, and then they hit day 5. Day 5, sir, was the 40K release, day 2. This was where they're going to show the new orcs, which are kind of like snake bite boys. They're not snake bites. They call them a beast.
Yeah. Yeah. They're the redux of they used to call them
snake bite boys.
No. There was a whole faction for them. They were like a white dwarf faction where like they had like cyber pig riders and shit.
Yeah. Those are snake bite boys.
They were not snake bite boys. Snake bites are a part of the standard orcs faction. Yes. But there was a specific subgroup of orcs that I can't fucking remember. It was not snake bikes. It was like, they were basically like the equivalent of the Exodites for the Eldar. There was an orc version of that where it's just like, they were all like, cause the minis were, I remember cause the minis were all kit bashed with the fantasy orc kits and the 40K orc kit. So it would, like, there was like an orc with like a bolta and a shield and like stuff like that. And then like there were the cyber pig riders, and then there were like they had legit fucking basic cav. I fucking can't remember what they were called though, but they were a white dwarf. They were never a book faction. They were a white dwarf thing.
The coolest thing about this faction is the fact that they have that little squig with a mono wheel.
Yes,
not as cool as Crab. But no. Yes. Oh, you know what? We didn't go over the box set day, but we'll go over that in a minute. It's not nothing too crazy in that one.
I'm going to mute myself for just a moment because I have to pee.
All right.
I have expelled my liquid gold.
I have also peed at the same time. Does that make us pee bros?
Yes.
Sweet.
Yes, it does. You also skipped over one of the important parts of the crab
we didn't faction. We didn't go over that yet.
Mm-hmm. All right, very good. So carry on. You were saying snake bites.
Oh yeah. So we got the snake bites, which is, you know, whatever. Like, it's kind of cool that there's a new orc faction.
Yeah, they look cool.
Yeah.
I mean, there hasn't been a fucking Xenos release for like a million years, so at least there's something.
Yeah, and they did they re-released Zodgrod. I don't remember if people remember him from back in the day. He was like a short little model, but he had a big furry head. That was what I always remember about him. He had like a beard, and like the beard went around his head, which was always weird. He was like an old second edition model, metal model. Mm. So they re-released him. I think the model looks cool. I know some people were bitching about it because orcs shouldn't have hair like that, but whatever. I think it looks fine.
They're orcs, man. They can do whatever they want.
And so they're going to have an army box release and everything. And here's something that I was thinking, Steve, and you can, you know, I'm sure you'd have your opinion on this as well. But I really honestly think that what GW did with Age of Sigmar by really condensing the factions down to just like three box sets with multiple uses. And so like the release for an army is you get like these four boxes, the rule book, and that's it. And I think that's what they need to do with 40K. Like, I think that would be a far more interesting way of doing 40K than how they're currently doing it. Because right now, with the release of this, the orc faction is gigantic now. Just getting big as the Space Marines.
Yeah, I mean, every faction is, like, really huge. Like, there's a lot. But, I mean,
unwieldy,
I don't know.
Sir.
Again, we would need, we should refer to our prior conversation where there is no plan.
Yeah. And also 40K is a baby's game. So
That's true. As the late great Steve Irwin once said, I would rather be stung to death by a stingray than play a baby's game like 40K.
Exactly.
So
now let's get to the Cadian Shock Troop upgrades. Nothing on this planet has made me more angry than this release. First of all, this is a 18-year-old kit, I think is the consensus, right? Released during 4th edition 40K, because 3rd edition was the plastic catechins, which, by the way, are still in the range.
Really?
4th edition, yes. You can still buy them.
No shit. All right.
Yeah. So they have this catechin kit, which if anybody remembers, this catechin kit, everything is super chunky and big.
Like, yeah, they're gigantic.
Are huge. The guns don't go together well.
Also true.
So they release an upgrade kit, and people are like, and the thing is not that there's an upgrade kit, Steve. The upgrade kit bothers me because people are excited about this fucking upgrade kit. Like, that's how fucking dumb these players are, that they're celebrating the stupid fucking release. And it's like, finally, I can upgrade my Cadians. It's like, first of all, you know why you're still having unpainted Cadians? Because they're fucking terrible models, and you don't want to paint them to begin with or put them together because they're a bitch and a half to put together, right? So you're celebrating the fact that they're releasing fine cast fucking models. Like, these are obviously, they're going to be resin unless they're on a sprue. And I highly doubt they're on a sprue.
It's probably a sprue.
So if it's a sprue, then why the fuck are the heads so small for the body, Steve? Why the fuck are the heads so small for the body?
Because someone was like halfway through sculpting a new Cadian kit, and they were just like, just stop.
That's, I mean, and then what they do is they give fucking the helmets to the models and make them look like big fucking ping pong balls. They look like space balls, Steve. They look like fucking space balls.
I mean, I didn't really look close at this kit, but now that you're really selling me on it, like, I think I'm turning into the this is an exciting release.
This is an exciting kit because you want to make space balls.
I want to comb the desert.
We ain't found shit. So I thought for sure when they showed the models, I was like, oh, they made a new Cadian kit. This is interesting. And then I was like, wait a second. I know that backpack, that ugly ass Voxcaster backpack with the fucking dildo sticking out of the back. that obviously goes up the commissar's bum hole.
No, the commissar makes it go up the sergeant's butthole. The commissar is there to ensure that it goes correctly.
You don't know. Maybe the commissar wants it up his bum hole.
I fucking know. I know the rules. I've read the Imperial Guardsman's Infantry Primer.
Yeah.
I know where the commissar says the butt plugs go.
Yeah. And then they add so the big selling point for a lot of people is there are female heads. Like, okay, that's great, but if I was a female, I would be insulted that the models have these gigantic ham hands. Like,
well, I mean, maybe you like ham hands.
I mean, even as a male, I'm upset that the male models have these gigantic ham hands.
That's because you have dainty girl hands.
I do have dainty girl hands.
I have gigantic ham hands, so I like when models have gigantic ham hands, because I know what it's like to grab a spear, and the spear is actually as thick as a small tree, and have your hand basically be, you know, make that spear look small. I've lived that pain.
I have I actually have short fingers, and I'm all palm, if that makes sense.
Now, the gag was always their fists were as big as their fucking heads, because that was the old sculpting. Yeah, it's like, the fists were always as big as that. But that's because all of these design things aside, in most cases, like, hands that are the proper scale, they just don't look as good painted, and or they're harder to paint, because like, having tried to paint a fucking shit ton of Infinity models, which are perfect scale, like everything in Infinity is exactly the correct scale, there's nothing that's the wrong size for Infinity, painting that shit is a fucking nightmare, and I would rather paint ham hands.
And then they have the gun. I guess they upgraded it to now you could get plasma and melta guns, which weren't in the original kit. It's like, just beg for a new kit. That's the thing. And what bothers me about this too is that all of this shit was available through third party retailers for fucking years. Not even talking even before 3D printing. You know what?
Oh, yeah.
You want fucking Cadian heads? I can give you so many Cadian heads that literally they'd be coming out your urethra. Finally, this is and guns, better guns too. Victoria Miniatures has been putting out quality upgrade kits for this for years.
Oh yeah, and that entire range is super. Like, if I was gonna if I suffered cranial trauma and was like, man, I want to do a fucking guard army. The first thing I would do is I would just cruise right over to Victoriana and just like buy a guard army there, because like that shit looks just as good, if not better, than any of the workshop guard shit.
Yeah.
And it's stylistically consistent, because it's not a hodgepodge of like 25 years of different sculpts.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing on top of it too, is the fact that these Victoria miniatures got so fed up with how old the Cadian miniatures were. They were like, fuck it, we'll make our own miniatures.
We'll make our own company.
Within the last 18 years waiting for an upgrade in Cadians. And then people have the gall, Steve, the gall on message boards to say, well, I like the old Cadian kit because it allows me to customize my figure poses. Who the fuck cares? Because I'll tell you what, most of the people who customize their figure poses, their poses look fucking awful because everything is off where it's supposed to be, because there's no accurate way of adding it on. So why is their waist twisted around so much? You've literally killed them because you've broken their spines, right? And the models have like this weird, like, the stock is different, is on a different piece than the actual barrel or the body of the gun. So they're not attached as well. You're shitty at doing that, Games Workshop fans. There are maybe in the entire Earth.
I think you should have said Games Workshop and fans.
Yeah,
I think you should have
fans.
Done both.
There are maybe 24 people who could put together models accurately. And one of them is Dan Delanois. And you know what? Even when you put the models together accurately, guess what? There's only like 4 fucking poses anyway.
The Lord of Assembly.
Yeah, the Lord of Assembly. You know what models actually look really great for guard models? The ones that they did for Blackstone Fortress, the Traitor Guard models. And you know what? They're monopose. And guess what? They look fucking awesome. There are 5
The Traitor Guard models are fucking dope.
There are 5 fucking monoposes. And guess what? You could probably make a unit of 20 of them and no one would fucking know the difference, right?
No one would ever know the difference. And that's like, no question.
I've seen you, Games Workshop 40K guard players. You shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a model that you could customize. You should only be given monopose models because that's all you're worthy to put together and paint.
I like to call him my ineptus mechanicus.
No shit. And it's like, no, like, well, if they had separate heads, that would be no. Don't even fucking give them separate heads because you know what? You can't glue a head on. Because when you glue a head on, you just leave it and you're like, perfect. And then the head slouches over and the guy's
all of the
fucking nards.
All of the things you're saying are just one of the many other reasons I still feel that the Vestroians were the superior release.
We are the Chad Vestroian enjoyers. Let me just put it that way. The average Vestroian enjoyer.
Yeah, we are an average Vestroian enjoyer because what are they? They're monopose. There's like 10 really awesome sculpts. There's no like weirdness. They're great metal models.
They're a little big though.
Right, but that's fine because the sizes of the thing is fine because like they're from a different planet. So like yeah, dudes just run bigger there. They're still humans, they're just bigger.
It just like it goes to show you how abused fucking guard players are when they're playing with 30-year-old tank kits too.
Let's be fair. They're only going to have their like 20 Cadian models, and they need some infantry to paint. So they got to keep doing a different squad of 20 Cadians
every so often. Models, Steve. They only have 32 models. That's all they need.
Yes, and they have to do a different squad of Cadians every other year because they have some. They need to add something to their tanks that they're compulsively buying 20 of every year.
Yeah, no shit. And they only play with like 3 of them.
Yes.
So when the
and it's like, all the same one. It's the same. It's whatever edition of the Lehman. It's whatever version of the Lehman Russ is the best in the current edition.
Yeah.
Times 3.
So they're just like so. You get a kit that's just like heads and a couple guns, and they're like, thank you, GW Dom. Can you please
put on the high heels? The Lemon Russ.
I shouldn't kink shame. That's wrong of me to do. I'm sorry.
And it's not even the right thing. I mean, we all know that those guys have already latched onto the vampire lady, just like me.
Just like you. Yeah. And so you know what? Fuck you, guard players. This is nothing. Games Workshop, you're fine. Keep releasing the shit for the guard players because that's all they fucking deserve.
I love it because like not only are you like completely like so distanced from 40k, it's completely irrelevant for you to have an opinion on it, but it's not only 40k, it's guard. So it's like you have a gap of distance which is like insurmountable between you and 40k, and then in 40k you have a gap of distance which is insurmountable between you and guard. So like you're so distanced from this and you're so passionate about it. Like I said, I award you the title of gamer.
but here's the thing. It's just that
like I am the lady of the lake. I am the lady of the lake, and like I came out and I have like a headset and a box of Hot Pockets, and I just like fucking throw them at you, and like I'm like you and like then the fucking orchestral music swells. It's like they're glowing, and like the light of heaven shines down upon you, and you pick up the headset.
I know you're talking hot pot. You said Hot Pockets, but I just want to point out that my wife accidentally bought unfrosted Pop-Tarts. I got so mad at her. I'm like, how dare you bring these into my house? How dare you?
That's really funny.
However, I will say this: I did have a Pat B moment where I took the unfrosted Pop-Tarts, toasted them,
like cream cheese on it.
No, I put peanut butter and jelly, and I made a peanut butter and jelly sandwich out of Pop-Tarts, and it was delicious. I'll tell you that.
Well, there you go. You found a use for unfrosted Pop-Tarts.
I know it's not something I would normally eat though, because it's probably like a trillion calories. But whatever.
But you found it. You found a way. You know what? Life finds a way.
Finds a way. And there we are. So then, okay, so let me get off of this, because it's just that Games Workshop has been putting out such top tier quality models that they put that out. And I'm just like, have we traveled back in time to 2005? I have to warn my future self about the housing crisis.
Back in time, boom, 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 ta-da.
Bitcoin, it's going to be huge.
Bum, ba-dum, ba-dum. And then Dogecoin. You could have turned your huge Bitcoin profit into Dogecoin profit.
I have invested in Dogecoin.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to be, like I said, as someone who invested and has made returns on GameStop, Dogecoin, and what was the other meme? Oh, a Lotto ticket.
What's Lotto ticket?
Literally a Lotto ticket.
Oh.
The number one financial advice I can give you is be a fucking idiot. That is the way to make money.
Yeah.
There you go. If you see what's going on with like the Bitcoin and then the NFTs and like the GameStop stock, and you still think that there is like an organization to the market, or there's a way to understand it, or it behaves in like a rational way, you're an idiot.
You're an idiot.
You're an actual idiot. And I mean that 100%. There's no fucking system. One of the best traders that has ever lived was a fucking monkey with a dartboard. And I'm not kidding. Literally a monkey with a fucking dartboard. Picked his stocks at random. He was the 8th best trader in the fucking world. So if you think that there's rules or people know what's going on, they don't. There are none. Nope. It's just a bunch of people who've made up a bunch of shit to sound smart. But no, there's no fucking rules.
What it actually is it's a bunch of people with a bunch of money manipulating the market so that they can make more money.
Well, there's that too.
Essentially, what Reddit.
That's another thing. Yeah. That's another thing. There's a couple other factors, but yes. There's no rules. Like
whoever
if you
has the
money,
most amount of money can manipulate the market.
There you go. Shocker. Whoever has the most amount of money fucking wins.
Yep.
Whoa.
All right, let's go over day 4 really quick. This is the one we skipped over. This is when they did the crab people. So what did you have to say about crab people?
Oh, I had to ask how excited you are that there's going to be an entire fucking faction with the Molag move ability.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't bother me. It wasn't the Molag move ability that bothered me. It was the stacking of everything on Molag. So you had to kill Molag. That was the problem.
And then this way, there's gonna be fucking 4 Molags.
Well, that's the thing though, is you're not stacking on one Molag, so it was really hard to get any sort of glory on Molag playing against Molag.
I think you might be underestimating how absolutely broke dick busted it's gonna be to have a fucking warband with Molags.
Yeah, but you're also thinking that I'm going to be playing any games anytime soon. I don't play these fucking games.
That's you know what? You know what? That's fair. And I guess that's where I just have to end it at that.
Yeah, I mean, like you bestowed upon me the mantle of gamer. However, I'm an honest gamer, and unlike other gamers, I fully admit I never get to play these fucking games. I don't have time.
Not playing the games also kind of like entrenches your mantle.
Yeah,
your gamerness. Like having strong opinions and commenting about it a lot, and not playing is like another thing that really. You know, like the mantle is expanding. Like, you know, you ever seen the movie The Cell?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great movie. I really like the movie. Visually fantastic. The plot's a little meh, but that scene where he stands up from the throne and he walks down and he's attached to the fucking wall and like his cape is like the fucking room. That's your gamer mantle expanding as you're talking. Like your cape is actually getting bigger and starting to go towards the corners of the room.
Wasn't the bad guy Vincent D'Onofrio in that movie?
Vincent D'Onofrio was
was he just in the movie?
No. Vincent D'Onofrio was the bad guy.
Okay, good.
And the one of the investigators was
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn, yes. Yes, that is correct. I was trying to remember who Vince Vaughn was for a second. I was like, who the fuck is the guy from fucking Dodgeball? What the fuck is his name?
Rumble in Cell Block 8.
Yes, Vince Vaughn. That's who it was. It was great. I was someone was this brings me back to a really really fucking funny moment where Vince Vaughn I guess he encountered Trump somewhere when Trump was president. He shook Trump's hand, and like people were like, "I'm so disappointed in Vince Vaughn," and I was like, "You had standards for Vince Vaughn? Like what?"
Yeah.
Like
Vince Vaughn kind of turned into a little bit of a shitlord. He's not as bad as James Woods because he just keeps his mouth shut, but he's kind of a shitlord.
Well, yeah, I mean, I look at it like this. Like he's a fucking, you know, 50-some-year-old white dude. Yeah, obviously he's going to support the guy who's making him fucking money because he's a Republican shitbag. Like,
yeah.
duh. Like that's not a surprise. That's my thing. Like someone for me, I was just like, how are you surprised by this? Like what? Like James Woods lost his mind, but I think James Woods literally was broken very specifically. And interestingly enough, I actually think James Woods was very specifically broken by 9/11. And I don't mean that by the event of it occurring, but a lot of people, like, I don't know how this story is not common knowledge, because it's not somehow, because like every time I tell it to someone, you might know, but every time I've told it to someone else, they've just been like, that's the most fucking insane thing I've never heard this before. James Woods was on a flight with the hijackers when they were doing dry runs.
Oh, really?
The hijackers did dry runs before they took over the planes. Yeah. James Woods was literally on a flight with them, and he was like, these dudes are on this plane and they're acting fucking weird. And he reported it. He's on record of reporting it. Like, this is all like on record of James Woods, like literally going like, these guys looked like they were doing something fucking fishy. Like they were planning something. Like he detailed it all out, and fucking sure enough, those were literally the dudes doing their dry run. He saw it and reported it, and nothing was done. I think that actually broke him. And like, he kind of snapped and like had to rationalize like how that could have occurred. And somehow, even though that occurred during a complete Republican control of the government, while the Republicans controlled every branch and there was a Republican president, somehow his mind broke and he blamed the Democrats for it.
Yeah, could very well be.
So I think that's what has occurred. Don't get me wrong, this is not an endorsement of either party. I think they're both fucking terrible. But I think that's like his mentality of how that occurred and how he's gotten to this point where he's now just like an insane, like he's basically like a Rush Limbaugh, just spouting like absolute like completely disprovable nonsense, just like absurdity. And I think that actually occurred. I think he actually got broken. So there you go. There's my James Woods story. I hope everyone was enthralled.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely interesting. And that's actually a really good idea of like how it breaks a person's psyche to have been able to report something that I just looked it up while you were talking about that. It doesn't necessarily say that it was the four guys, but it, because I guess the FBI haven't commented on that one, but he did report something ahead of time. So to believe in your head that you could have stopped this from happening, this one of this terrible event of the 21st century, I'm not saying the most terrible, but it definitely had repercussions.
It is terrible.
Yeah.
Its consequences were definitely the worst.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
No
is
question.
Like,
yeah.
James
yeah.
Woods literally could have prevented fucking the Patriot Act. Fucking the Iraq war. Well, you probably couldn't have prevented the Iraq war. That probably would have happened regardless of 9/11 actually happened or not.
Right.
The Afghanistan war, you know, all of the shit. The fact that we have to take off shoes when we're going through our airports.
Yes.
I could see that easily breaking a person's mind. I could see that, like, it's almost like Lovecraftian in a way. Like, it's such like a universal, like, it's so much bigger than him that his mind can't comprehend it, and it just broke. Like, he literally failed his amount of insanity.
His sanity just went over. Like, he just went over limit. There's nothing he could do.
Yeah.
I also think, because it's the only thing that makes sense, because, like, if you track his trajectory, like, as a person, like, that is really, like, the flashpoint where he, like, just, you can see a clear divergence.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I know of was... what's his name? The comedian from Bordello of Blood. He was on Saturday Night Live.
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller's trajectory, interestingly
enough. I like
how
you went with Bordello of Blood as your first pull for him.
That's the only thing I remember him from, to be honest. Like that, and I knew he was on SNL.
Other people, he was actually a color commentator on Monday Night Football throughout most of the 90s and early 2000s.
Like, I'm gonna know fucking football. So the
Americano.
His diverging point was when Barack Obama took office, which is really interesting if you think about it.
Well, I think that was a lot of people, Steve. And we're not just like, say why. We can realize why.
we can find where people who were like super, who were essentially like turbo liberal suddenly became not liberal at all when he took office. Kind of interesting. Interesting. Just a weird coinky dink. Yeah. You know, just one of those things, one of those little, you know, whoa, that's a little intricacy that's kind of strange.
Well, it's like, and as I always go to, and this will be my last comment on it, is that, you know, I don't, if a person is conservative, it's fine. The problem is that most,
it's not.
I'll
go out there, it's not.
the problem is with most vocal conservatives is that you go, is that they say, you're suppressing me for my conservative beliefs. Which beliefs are we suppressing you for? Is it your economic beliefs?
Well, no.
No. Which beliefs? You know which ones.
Yeah, you know which ones. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. And that's the biggest problem I have. I mean, there's plenty of other problems, mind you, but that's like the one that's like when people say, like, you're suppressing me for my conservative belief. Your conservative belief is you want to own people.
Yes, that's your belief.
Now, it's not necessarily even Black people. It's you just want to own people. I think that one of the things I was talking about with Pat B, and was we were talking about that before, like a long time ago, before even Obama was elected. I was saying that how, if given the opportunity, conservatives would repeal child labor laws.
And absolutely. Like, no question.
He was like, no, come on. That's just like an extreme point. And I literally just Googled it in front of him and showed him six articles about trying to repeal child labor laws.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not hyperbolic. Like, they're actually evil. Like they're actually evil. Like 49% of this country actually evil.
Well,
evil by intent or by stupidity.
That was what I was gonna say. I was about 25% are actively evil. I would say that the other 24% are probably evil by just ignorance. Pretty much
fair. Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, that goes into there's a whole bunch of like questions and things about that. But yes, I agree with that.
So they have the Necromunda box came out, making an abrupt right turn. The Necromunda box, there's some new Necromunda.
Actually, that's on topic. You just be like on the topic of child labor. Necromunda.
on the topic of a dystopian hellscape. The new Necromunda set coming out. It's the House of Shadows stuff with some Delacues, as I like them. My favorite, yes, Necromunda warband. And they have the new Necromunda video games coming out, Hired Gun, which looks cool.
Yeah, that does look dope.
Because it's a first person shooter, which is kind of cool.
It should be. It's a Necromunda game.
And then Games Workshop trolled the audience by previewing a plastic Thunderhawk for Aeronautica Imperialis. But what kind of idiots thought that they would debut a plastic Thunderhawk on the Box Games Day? Like, that's kind of dumb that they would.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like all fair for like 30 seconds while they were teasing it. But it's a new Aeronautica Imperialis box set's coming out, which has got the Space Marines and Eldar in it, which is cool. I mean, like, the models are cool. I always like these box games. They're so neat. But it's, you know, you can't invest in all of them. You have to pick like one that you want to do. Do you want to do Titanicus or Aeronautica Imperialis?
It's just like children. You got to pick your favorite.
You got to pick your favorite. Because you can't do Shadespire and Necromunda and Imperialis and all of that stuff. You get one.
Pop's only got so much love and only so much inheritance.
Got to pick a favorite. And then finally today, the day that we're recording Saturday morning, as we normally do, they're going to be doing the big mystery release.
Yes, today is the mystery day. Of course, I'm sure it'll be total, since we've done the cast, it'll be gas. It'll be super good. It'll be something that we could have talked about.
What I'm proposing to you, Steve, is that today, after the release, we make a decision on whether or not we just want to hop on and record for 15 minutes talking about what the new release is. Just in case it's something big. So if there is nothing attached to the end of the episode, you know that neither Steve nor I care about it to make a comment.
I mean, I'll actually pre-comment. I actually have that. I can take care of this right now. Actually, sure. It's very easy. The only thing I would care to comment on, and I will make the comment now, is this: if they reveal the old world and it's something that is appealing, however it's done, if it appeals to me, my comment is, if I were to recall on to do this, I would say I'm about to simp.
You're about to simp. Yes. What about if it's Sigmar 3.0?
Don't care. I should say. So the distinction here is, would it be enough for me to comment? The only thing that would be enough for me to comment would be the old world. And that's the comment I would make. For Third Sigmar, it's like, okay, like that's so inevitable. Like there's nothing that's like,
I am inevitable.
Yes, it is. I mean, it's fucking Thanos with the Infinity Gauntlet. Like that's like the third edition of AOS is gonna happen.
What if it's so stupid that we can't help but comment on it to talk about how stupid it is?
I can't imagine.
What if it's a full box set of Cadian bits?
It's just bits.
It's just bits.
Like that's Age of Sigmar third edition is a box that has Age of Sigmar artwork on it. Says Age of Sigmar, and you open it up, and it's just Cadian bits. Nothing else. Nothing. There's no sprues. There's no rule books. There's no complete models. It's just a box of Cadian bits.
Of horribly sculpted out of
that would be Cadian awesome. Heads. That would be awesome. I would be impressed by Games Workshop's balls and their moxie, and I would fully support it.
I think my prediction is it's Sigmar 3.0. It's due. The problem is with the release schedule being all fucked up as it is because of COVID, all of the supply issues and everything, and like there's like a compression issue, right, Steve? Where it's like they had to move back some of the releases because of COVID, and then it kind of compressed right. with their other releases, which pushed certain things back,
right.
which had a bunch of issues. It's interesting that they would be showing the preview for Sigmar 3.0 now, unless they want to make their big summer monies. I think that's probably it too, because don't they usually have like a big summer release?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing too, is that, I mean, because for all intents purposes, an edition is a book in a box set. So, yeah. Like, if that's all they're doing, like, I could, it's a schmuck and a pancake. I can see that being the case if they do it. I just don't think so. I think that's unlikely. But again, even if it does happen, I wouldn't care to comment on it because it's like, yeah, it's inevitable. It's of course it's going to happen. It's fucking it's another edition of the game, and it'll likely be the same thing that happened with second edition, where it's just like it's refinement and upgrades, because like that's like AOS is like pretty solved at this point. Like there's not much more there was a few changes for second edition, but the biggest change was adding a second grouping of terrain. That was like the biggest change was adding a second grouping of terrain effects, because that was like one of the biggest things in Age of Sigmar that matters are those terrain effects, where you're like, you know, these dudes have plus one attack now. Like that's huge. Like there's gigantic repercussions for having those
endless spells. So like I have to say, endless spells were not as big a deal as I thought they I said endless spells were going to be kind of dumb, and they kind of ended up being a little dumb. People still use them, but they're not as, like, I don't think they're as prevalent as...
The endless spells that matter really, really matter, but the amount of endless spells that matter is very small. Because, yeah. Like, the ones that matter, it's like the Geminids. Like you always take the Geminids because they're just fucking great. Their return for points, like, it's just fucking phenomenal.
Is that the mirrors?
No, the Geminids are they're the two orbs.
And
like they're super good because they're a super low points cost, they're a super low casting value, and they can do a lot of damage. They're super good. The mirror, obviously, huge, gigantic. The mirror was so good it had to be nerfed twice. the mirror.
That's what
is
I was
going to
say. The mirrors were.
The mirrors were nuts. So the mirror had to be nerfed twice, and then like usually you'll have like the thing that's nice about the endless spells is that they were something that looked like they were going to break the game or be not used at all. And I think they ended up being exactly where they should be, which is they're a part of the game. Because I've seen lists that like have a staple endless spell where they're just like, you should always take this endless spell. And then there's lists, same army, where they're like, don't bother taking this endless spell. So like, I think they ended up in a really, really good spot. The only, I don't know about like, if I would say downside or slash drawback is that like, some of them are garbage. Like some of them just are not good. And so that there's that.
They end up
doing pretty well. Like there's a lot of the spells and a lot of the arm. I think the big thing is that the faction spells ended up being more important than the generalized spells, because the generalized spells like the purple sun is kind of like, although I haven't seen a lot of I haven't heard a lot about the Lizardmen at the moment, but like the Lizardmen have a thing where like they just control the endless spells. So that might be super good. I don't know. It's also hard. It's also a bit hard to like kind of stay up to date with like the AOS stuff, because like tournaments are weird because there was a bunch like online, and then there was like some that was like 15 dudes. There's no raw data. So like, people know like what's broken. Like the Marathi trick obviously is broken. Like that needs to be fixed, because that's clearly like a, and that involves an endless spell.
I think we're kind of like in agreement that it's probably going to be Sigmar 3.0. The thing that's interesting to me,
though, I don't think it'll be Sigmar 3.0. I do not think it'll be Sigmar 3.0. I think it'll either be a teaser for more Cursed City content or another box game. So here's my actual prediction. This is either going to be a teaser or a reveal of the old world. A teaser for something, or a reveal of the old world. That is what this is going to be, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything else that makes sense. So I guess it could be a teaser for Age of Sigmar 3. Like, it could be that. I don't think they're going to have anything substantial if it's Age of Sigmar 3.
No. Okay. So my personal feeling is that it's going to be Sigmar 3. Some things that I think it could possibly be, I put my bet on 75% Sigmar 3. I would say there's maybe a 10% chance that they'll put out Old World. I think it's still too soon though for Old World. I think they still got like another year's worth of development. We've only really seen one design army, and there's only been a few kind of leaks to it. I think we would have been seeing more for if it was going to be that. There's a possibility that it could be another like two-person starter set, like they've been putting out. Not a starter set, but like a two-person army
box set.
Yeah, box set. Because I think they just put out Piety and Pain, which is the
It could be a new 40K box set with the orcs.
It could be. Well, they already said that's coming out. They already showed that.
No. A new starter box set like they did with like the Necrons versus Space Marines.
Yeah, I mean that's a possibility, but they're putting out a box set for the Beast Nagas, so I don't think that would be possible. I would say, but if it was anything, it would be like vampire counts, but they've already announced them, so I highly doubt that. No, I don't. I honestly think that the only it could, and I also say that that could be part of it, or it could be the whole thing is that Cursed City is back in stock.
Yeah, or there's also the possibility that it's just a new War Master.
Yeah, Steve could only hope that it's like, yeah, so what we're doing is we're going back to 2001 and releasing a new box set for War Master.
Yes, that is what they should do.
Not to get too deep into it, but I was reminded after playing the Civil War game that when War Master was released, the release cycle for War Master was really kind of dumb. Because what they did was they released one army a month for like 6 months, right? So they released everything for Empire at one time. And it was back then, if you remember, this is a long fucking time ago for people.
Yes, it was a long time ago.
And Steve may remember this. They didn't do releases every month. 1 month would be a fantasy release month. The next month would be a 40K release month. Then they would do a Lord of the Rings release month. So in order to have a fantasy release month like they did with War Master, it would have to be every 3 months they would release a new box set for War Master. So by the time that like the sixth faction came out, it was like a year later and everyone was done with the game.
Yes.
So that was
also it had to deal with the multiple drawbacks of one having an army based game where literally like only two factions existed for months. Then a bunch of the sculpts being lost or destroyed because that dude left the palette of
that was only the fucking mold though. I think
was it? I thought it was a bunch of the War Master stuff too.
It could have been a bunch of the War Master stuff. I don't know, but I know that a big chunk of it was the metal Chaos Dwarf stuff. That's why they all disappeared.
Yeah.
And that's why they were like the original chase army that people wanted.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if they did plastic war like that, I was thinking about like a way they could like reasonably do War Master, like, and bring it back. Like, obviously it's just wish listing, but like I was thinking about it like an actual, like if I was Games Workshop and I wanted to bring War Master back intentionally, obviously it's probably not even on their fucking radar, but like if they were thinking about it, it could just be like, ooh, plastic box sets, like legit, like this is the War Master box set, it contains these armies, then we'll be releasing this War Master box set which contains these armies, and then this War Master box set which contains these armies, and it's all plastic.
Well, I mean, actually, now that I've seen the way that Warlord Games is doing the Civil War game, that way makes way more sense, because you know what they sell? They sell a box that looks just like a Age of Sigmar unit box. Mm-hmm. There are three sprues in there. Each sprue is a brigade, so like, or not a brigade, a unit, so like three stands. Yes. So you could literally just take three of those in there and you get a brigade in a box for like, let's say $40, right? That's probably about the, it should cost like 30, but it probably they'd sell it for 40 through, right. You know, through Forge World or whoever's doing that, kind of like Blood Bowl. And that would be perfect, but they're never going to do that.
No, I'm just saying like it could be very easily done.
It could very easily be done, but they are never, ever going to go back and redo War Master.
No.
Cue to like, 3 hours from now when they show the release and it's plastic War Master, and I go
fucking War Master.
When I just stand up from my desk and go up to the top of my house and jump off. And that's how I broke my back.
The only other thing that someone brought out to me is, what about a War Master scale Age of Sigmar style? And I was just like, that's interesting. Like not actually playing like Age of Sigmar, but like Age of Sigmar but War Master scale.
I honestly do not think Games Workshop, I don't think is ever going to do Sigmar in a different scale. Like the fact that they have Titanicus and Aeronautica is interesting, but you got to remember, they've never done tanks and infantry in that scale. And I don't think they're ever going to.
Wasn't Epic in that scale?
But I'm talking now, because here's the reason. Their infantry game is 40k. They don't make a ton of flyers or titans for 40k. That's like a different thing altogether. So they have to if they compartmentalize it and they create infantry for like, let's say Epic or Aeronautica, which it could be, by the way, it could be an Epic box set as well, like a new
also
Epic
game. Yeah, also true.
But I don't think they would do that because I think that's bleeding too much into a game that they already have. So they don't want to have too much overlap. So to speak, like you can't have aerial duels between multiple aircraft in 40k, and since you can't do that, that's why they have a separate game for that,
right?
Or you know what it could be, Age of Sigmar boat game.
that's good. The thing I was thinking about with Age of Sigmar and War Master scale, or actually, I mean, I guess boat game, sure, we'll throw out a boat game, same thing. But I was thinking about it, if they did a smaller scale Age of Sigmar game, they could actually just do it by Grand Alliance instead of army.
Yeah, they could. I agree with that. I think totally.
Because that would be a really easy way to do it as well, and have a lot of variety and a lot of choices. And like, if you wanted to play if you wanted to just do fucking Stormcast, you could just be like, yeah, I'm only going to use the Stormcast choices from my Grand Alliance order. Like, you can just do that. So that was something I was thinking about. I was like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, it could be anything. I think I'm going to try and get you on for at least just 10 minutes to talk about it when it's released. Just so I can hear you say, like, even if it's like a 30-second end to it where you go, Age of Sigmar 3.0, yep, and then you log off. That's all I think that's maybe it.
I'll message you.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll see. It doesn't have to necessarily be like as soon as it's done and over with.
It needs to be something amazing for me to
get you onto your phone for like 30 seconds. It had to be something amazing.
Yes, absolutely, like amazing.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it. Of
what, like, when is it happening anyway?
It's happening at 12 today.
Mm-hmm, okay.
So and as I say, this isn't going up till probably afternoon tomorrow, which would be about 6 p.m. British Standard Time tomorrow.
We have a nice evening show for our British gents.
That's exactly what it is. So they could. I like doing it on Sunday at around that time, because you know what, people could hold on to it till Monday. They can have a nice Sunday listen, or they can listen to it on Monday during their commute as they take the tube into the city.
The tube. Are you referring to the Elon Musk tube?
That's the part of the reason why I hate that I invested in Dogecoin, because Elon Musk is involved in it and it makes me angry. But I'm like, money outranks Elon. So,
yeah, I mean, like, I'll say this.
Like, I only put like $100 into it.
I talk about morals and all those things and so on and so forth. But I mean, I am not above making money. I live in the real fucking world. So, like, if you're making money, yeah, I mean, the world we live in, it sucks. It's evil. Like, hey, man, that's how it is.
When Dogecoin hits like $1,000 each, like Ethereum, you know, we'll be set.
Yes. Yeah. No, the one thing I was going to comment on, the one humorous thing about the Elon tube that I really like is that he's basically created a death tunnel.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic, because the only people who are going to be able to use it are the ultra wealthy. So he's basically created a death tunnel that's going to just kill ultra wealthy people, which is really funny to me. Because like anyone with an ounce of brain power, which is clearly not Elon Musk, would be like, huh, having a fucking tube underground that no emergency vehicles can get through if there's any incident or any problem in the tube. Probably a bad idea.
I like my favorite thing is like whenever someone mentions that Elon Musk founded PayPal created PayPal, and I go, no, he didn't.
Yeah, he didn't create anything. He used his money to buy his way into founder status for Tesla. Like, he wasn't on in that company at the ground floor. He literally bought and like made it illegal for the two dudes who actually founded that company to say that they founded it, because he used his fucking parents' apartheid blood money to do it. Yeah, he's a charlatan. He's a good charlatan. I will admit, he is excellent at his job. His job is getting really weird nerds to defend him vigorously online.
I want you to start texting Pat about that, because Pat's an Elon follower. He loves Elon.
Well, I mean, he should hear my comments now.
No one listens to this podcast.
He's an avid listener.
He's an avid listener. I think he's a passive listener. So anyway, go to the Game Classy Facebook page. It's the best way you can get in contact with us. You can like, comment, subscribe on the YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. Best way you can help out the podcast. You could get a hold of me if you'd like. I got my minis over on Instagram, and my handle's at Game Classy Joe. I actually been posting Angry Simpsons Imperial Guard memes about
this. They're really good.
And Steve, you know what? Steve gave me a thumbs up on my created meme, so that's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm somewhat of a shitpost aficionado, and I find that's a cross. I think that's a cross section that might not be huge, but I think it's an excellent slice of said cross section
of Simpsons memes Simpsons 40K memes.
Yeah, Simpsons shitposting slash a Grimdank meme.
There's a group on Facebook called Eye on Terra that is a Simpsons 40K meme page.
That's fantastic.
I highly recommend it. I've put a couple of them up there. But like, so I put up this a very simple version of the meme, because there's a complicated one, which is a 6-panel one I did, which was the original one. Mm-hmm. That one I put up on Reddit and the Ion Terra page.
I preferred the complicated one.
Yeah. I put up a second one, which is that, but Games Workshop, why now? Why not 20 years ago? on Instagram, because it's a very simple one. And I'll tell you what, it had, you know, immediately, you know, 88 likes. And I've never have comments on my posts, because it's mostly minis. Sometimes people go, hey, that looks really great, or blah, blah, blah. You know, normally no more than 5 or 6, right? Mm-hmm. This one already has like 20 comments on it, and like people defending it. Like a guy's like, can't you all be complacent? Like, dude, it's mini gaming. Like, if you're going to get angry about it, that's fine. It's mini gaming. It's not something like, I think that I should be able to own black people. Like, you don't need to put the, like,
keep your mouth shut and buy product.
Yeah, that's essentially what he's saying.
Keep your mouth shut and buy product. And that's the messaging.
People saying Cadia stands, GW sucks ass. Like, it's just like, I feel bad though, because one guy, Manufactory Primus, Manufactorum Primus, he put it up there being sarcastic, but I didn't get that he was being sarcastic at first because his sarcasm was so much close to the honest opinions of some people that I couldn't tell. Like, I called him out on it.
Like, well, I mean, that's a really good, that sounds like some excellent sarcasm in that case.
I mean, yeah, I think it would
sounds
all
like
be
gotcha.
About,
sounds yeah, like
it
gotcha.
It would be all about tone at that point. But the thing is I pushed him on it and I made him feel, I think I felt bad about how I pushed on it because I thought he was being legitimate on it. But yeah, that was, and then, but my favorite one, I think my favorite one that I did was the one I sent to you about with, so what you want is you
yes.
want. And then with the end, it's just Roger Myers going, you know, you don't know, you players don't know what you want. And that's why you play 40K, because you're stupid. And that's a very Steve comment. If I could have photoshopped your head on there and people knew who you were, I think that would have been even better.
Yes, it's good.
Yeah. So that, but anyway, that's Instagram. Steve, you're still off the grid, right?
I am still off the grid. If anyone wants to reply to me, please shitpost on the Facebook page and I will reply in kind with a shitpost of my own.
Or your VTube Simper page.
Yes, I have a VTube Simp page, which I mean, clearly is getting the most action.
Getting the most action. I think that's available through our Facebook page if you want to see it.
It is. You should be able to see it. It's the Fallout New Vegas and VTuber Simp Zone. It's both. I try to make sure that there's a Fallout New Vegas meme and a VTubing related post every weekday. I try to make sure that there's something there. It's very humorous. I'm waiting for one of the VTubers to just play Fallout New Vegas. Like, that would be great. that would give me a lot of content for that Facebook page. That would be my specific content. That would be my Eye of Terra cross section. Or Eye on Terra.
That's an underrated Simpsons sound clip. Is the Eye on Springfield?
The Eye on Springfield. Oh, it's great. I think it's. I don't think it's underrated. I think it's outdated. I don't think those kind of
entertainment programs.
Not entertainment programs. I just don't think that presentation is relevant anymore. I don't think anything is presented like that anymore. So like people see that and they're just like, that's kind of weird. Like unless they're our age when they remember like lots of news programs doing stuff like that. I don't think that like a lot of like, I don't think any Zoomer would see that and like understand why that's humorous at all.
Yeah, like I don't think Zoomers are going to understand any sort of Entertainment Tonight reference. Most millennials don't understand
Entertainment Tonight references. This is true. Although the skill of the Zoomer surrealist meme, excellent. Like their memes are fucking great because they're just like, it's like cucumber.
Crab.
Yeah,
crab.
Yeah, so it's very, very good. I'm a fan. I'm a Zoomer fan.
Yeah, I my child is a Zoomer, and I will tell you that their humor only applies online. In real life, they are incredibly awkward and
it's like the dude who just references memes like in real life all the time. Like that doesn't work. Like the area where that is funny is online. It's like 2004, like some dude who's just like forever alone. Like if you said that like in real life, like to an actual person, that would be, as the kids say this day, cringe. So that's the whole thing. Like you using memes in real life is cringe.
Yes.
So that's definitely I can definitely see that.
However, I'm still like, because I'm so borderline Gen X / millennial, it's very difficult for me to
want to be a millennial so bad.
No, because millennials are awful.
You are one. I'm sorry. If you want to classify yourself, you can classify yourself as an elder millennial, because that's where we would fall. We would fall as elder millennials.
I do not believe. I believe I'm a younger Gen X. It's because I listen to more Gen X music than anything.
So I listen to fucking music from the 50s. That doesn't make me a fucking baby boomer.
Yeah, but if you were born in like the baby boomer generation or like right at the edge of the internet.
Nah.
I never had the internet till I went to college. That's like,
music tastes can't define you. And I mean obviously generational concepts are a fucking cash scam anyway. Like yeah. They're literally just to make money, but like that's the, you know, you don't get to decide because the dudes who arbitrarily decide what a generation is have already decided for you.
I still say I am a
It's like I said, it's fucking arbitrary. Like anyone who was born in the 80s has a completely different like the most vastly different life experience than someone who was born, even in, like someone who was born in like 92. Like if you were born in 85 or 84, your life experience is gonna be way, way different than someone who was born in 92. Like way different by like a fucking mile. Like the amount of like events, cause what is it? It's the, I don't know if it's called anything, but it's the acceleration. Like cause everything's happening faster. Like everything's happening faster. All the cycles are faster. The news cycles are faster. The events are faster. The progress is faster. Like everything is like accelerating rapidly. So like, you know, like if you just look at like technology, like just look at history, like look at technology between, you know, like 1900 and 1950, like the gap of like what has appeared in technology in that 50-year time span is insane. But then if you look at the gap of technology between, I don't know, 1980 and 1990, there's way bigger leaps. And then 1990 to 2000, there's fucking astronomical leaps. Oh, yeah. And then again, each decade, the leaps forward of technology and ability are like fucking ridiculous. Like how obviously there's always progress in technology, but like what is happening in greater capacity and faster. So it makes the generational definitions even more ridiculous, because like, you know, there's just no fucking way that technically I think the official quote-unquote official final date to be born and be considered a millennial was like 96. So if you were born in 96, you're still considered a millennial, I believe. It might be a little bit later. It could even be 98. I don't actually know. But I know that the start year is 1980. That's the start year for a millennial. So there's no fucking way that someone who was born in the year 1980 has a same, like even close to the same life experience as someone who was born in 1996.
It's true. Fucking I've been through impossible. Three recessions. They've only been through two.
That's right. you forgot to add the most critical part of that tagline. I've been through three once in a lifetime recessions.
Yes, they've only been through
they've only been through two once in a lifetime recessions.
All right. So, Steve, until next time.
Never stop shitposting, my friends, and crab on.
Crab on.
Game Classy.